signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics.
I think this is about the time where we break in and say, well, howdy, folks. Except for, unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever you prefer, this is not your friend Dave Kopeck. This is Red Pill Politics Show. My friend called me last night, and he's indisposed at the moment. There's no problems. He's just out in the middle of the wilderness, did not have a good connection. I appreciate it. He did not want to do a replay, and he trusted me to, he called me up and said, hey, you want to do my show? And I said, I would consider it an honor, Dave. And, you know, this is Saturday, September 17th, I do believe. And, like I said, my friend called me up yesterday evening. You know, and I say my friend, you know, another one of these friends, one of these RBN family and friends that, you know, never met the guy, never looked him in the eye, never shook his hand. Wish I could, because I've listened to Dave. I listen to his show every week. You know, it's amazing, his background, you know, even though he's half the continent away from me, you know, I'm in Texas, and he's way out on the East Coast. You know, he's half a continent away from me. But, you know, I have more in tune with Dave, you know, the normal host of this show, which, man, I love his thought processes. I love the way he presents things. Yeah, just a good guy, a guy with, like you know, the show before us. You know, I don't know if you heard us call in. It's like Andy and I called in, and Andy will be coming on here with me. You know, he's going to be riding along here with me, and we'll be talking. But, you know, the first guest that Jenna had on, you know, he said, you know, one thing that's lacking is common sense. You know, in today's world, if you looked up in Wikipedia or something, and the word oxymoron, it would probably say common sense, you know, because there's not much of it out there anymore. And her guest, the second hour, I mean, my God, that woman was she hit almost every point that I was wanting to talk about. You know, about the mesmerization of the internet and the smartphones and people not leading their own lives anymore. You know, no one does introspection anymore. You know, I've got guys out here that, you know, I've got a ranch here in Texas, and deer hunting is a big business here. I make a lot more money off of a deer lease, off a deer hunting lease, than I can running cattle on my place. And that's just sad. Something that actually produces, you know, whether you're a vegetarian or not, you know, you cannot make near as much money as you can running cattle on your place as you can leasing it for deer hunting. And that's just sad, my friends. You know, it's a sad reflection on what this world has become. Like I said, I've never had an internet connection, never had a smartphone. I did have a cell phone for a while. You know, I think I got my first one in the late 90s, and I had one up until about 2004 when I moved here, and I got rid of that damn thing. I never did like it. I never liked, you know, being in touch 24 hours a day, because everyone had their cell phone with them. If you had one, you had it with you. And if work called you up, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, we need you down here, it's like you were expected to be there. You know, it didn't matter if you were in the south of France on vacation or whether you were at your house. You know, you were expected to be there. Everyone's personal time, your personal time to reflect on your life, to think about what life is, to do self-introspection. You know, look back on yourself. Am I a good person? Am I who I want to be? Or am I being turned into something that I really never wanted to be, but because it's convenient, I guess I'll have to become what I never really wanted to be? And see, it's like I said on the last show, you know, I said, if you live in a world of people who are mainlining heroin, if everyone, your mother, your brothers, your children, if they're all mainlining heroin, are you considered an addict if you're mainlining heroin also? No. You know, how many people out there have heard this from other people? Oh, you don't want to be around me until I have my first cup of coffee. Well, you know, folks, caffeine is a drug. Nicotine is a drug. Alcohol is a drug. And what was allowed to remain open during the COVID scare of death? Walmart and liquor stores, right? You could go down to your liquor store and buy all you wanted, but you want to go down to your local store and buy some parts to repair your tractor, or, you know, go into your local restaurant? Well, hell no, they were closed because they weren't essential, were they? Because you don't live in the world that, I'm 60 years old. You know, I remember the old times. I remember yo-yos. I remember lawn darts, you know, things like this, you know. Yo-yos taught you hand-eye coordination, right? You could either do a yo-yo or you couldn't, you know. You either got it or you didn't. Lawn darts, well, you played with them safely. You know, today's kids would probably, like, throw lawn darts at each other, and kids would come in from playing lawn darts with lawn darts stuck in them instead of the damn lawn, you know. This is where this freaking world has gone. These last two ladies, I called up and proposed marriage to her, and she said, well, she was already married. Unfortunately, yes, but it would have been like marrying myself, because what I heard that woman saying was truth. You know, she uses it a little bit. You know, if you expect to contact me, don't expect an instant reply. You know, because I don't live by it. And see, I still live that way. I grew up hunting and fishing. I grew up, you know, observing nature and the world around me. I am very aware of my environment, and I pay attention to it. And like, you've heard me say this before. If you've listened to our show, you know, I'll be with you again in, what, 9, 10 and a half hours or so here. You know, I'll be back in, you know, Sunday morning with y'all. But you've heard me say this before. You know, I grew up hunting and fishing, observing my environment. I was a good hunter. Yep, learn my, if you want to call it my prey. I was a very good fisherman. You know, I knew where the bass were going to be in the springtime, the summer, the middle of winter. You know, same thing with the white bass, crappie. I knew where the deer were going to be. I knew when dove would fly. I knew what brought them in. You know, yes, I because I paid attention to my environment. I did not have an app that told me, oh, well, throw your lure over there. There'll be a fish next to that stump, you know, because you've got a map on your smartphone. You know, I haven't been out fishing with anyone in a long time in a boat or anything. I'm sure nowadays if you go out in a boat, it's like someone's got a fishing app on their smartphone, and it's like, oh, well, it says throw your lure over here by this stump and you'll catch an 8-pound bass. And it's like, you know, that's something you used to have to figure out for yourself. You know, use your own brain. And that's what I still do. And you want to know, folks? I see the world around me not using much of their own brain power anymore. If there's not an app for it, they are lost. You know, the lady beforehand, you know, she said, she was like, you know, don't go to Google, don't go to Facebook, you know, don't go to YouTube to find out how to do something. You know, folks, I've gone down to, you know, these resale shops, you know, it's like when the old people die, you know, the kids, you know, what they can't sell in a garage sale, they give to one of these charity places. And you go into these places, and you know, folks, I've got many, many volumes of old-time do-it-yourself books. You know, how do you mix concrete? Well, you take 3 parts gravel, 2 parts sand, one part Portland cement. You know, and you know, and you weigh it out, and you do this, and that's going to be your best result. You know, but you know, I read those books, and I've still got them here as references. You know, how do you build a house? How do you frame a house? How do you create something? How do you actually build and do things for yourself on your own, you know, with your own brain? Sure, you might have a reference, but you're going to have to go look, actually flip a book open and look at it. It's like, well, I want to know how to make concrete, so I'll get the C section out. And it tells, you know, how do I build a chicken house? Oh, well, that's in the C section also, you know, how to build a chicken house, you know. And it tells you the old way to do things, the way that it was done way before it was, you know, technologically advanced. You know, it's like, well, you can have your chickens looked over by a motion sensor, and, you know, and if a coon comes near it, you know, blah, 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 blah. No, the old-time ways of doing things, the way that we always existed on this planet, you know, this is what I still try to live my life by. And people, you have no idea how lonely I am. I'm the only person besides my mother, and she's 91 years old. She doesn't need to hear me talking about this crap, but I can't help it because she's the only one that I know who does not have a smartphone or a computer, you know, interlink network, you know. And she sees it in her life. She goes to quilting down at the local church, which is now basically a satanic piece of crap. The pastor at this church that my great-great-grandfather was the first Lutheran minister at in Fredericksburg, Texas here, it's called Holy Ghost Lutheran. The minister at this church now is the Antichrist if I've ever met one. This guy made me very uncomfortable first time I was ever around him, and everything has changed. You know, everything is manipulation. Everything wants your brain and your body. And with that, I will shut up on my initial rant. And Mr. Kopech, Dave, my friend, if you can get, he said he might try to get to a high point wherever he's at out there on the East Coast, and he said he might give a call in, but he said he did not have a good enough connection to make it a reliable and a quality show. And I don't know if it'll be a quality show with what I'm talking about, but I'm carrying on with what these ladies were talking about beforehand. You know, what this digital mesmerization, you know, the little bit I've been on the internet, I haven't even accessed the internet once this year. You know, I've got a little pad, and I can go down to my cousin's house and access their Wi-Fi. I've got the code and everything. But, you know, the last time I was down there on it, I went down to look up how to throw a cast net. You know, a cast net is, you know, it was a 6-foot cast net for catching bait fish. You know, it's a round net. And I've been throwing one for years, and I'm like, there's got to be an easier way because I kind of wear myself out doing it, you know. And I went down to say, is there an easier way than what I'm doing to throw a cast net? And, folks, I sat there, you know, and most of you will think that I'm weird for saying this, but I spent an hour and a half on the internet, and the little pop-ups on the side on YouTube kept tailoring themselves. It's like, well, I'd say, it's like, you know, a cannon would come up, and I'm like, well, what's this? And I'd look at that because I've been making gunpowder since I was 8 years old, okay? You know, my mom used to actually take me to the chemical supply warehouse and I'd buy like a 5-pound bag of potassium nitrate, and we'd stop off at the drugstore and I'd buy a bottle of sulfur, you know, and then I'd make my own charcoal. I've been making my own gunpowder since I was 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old, and I've still got all my fingers, and so do all my friends, you know, because I learned how to do things, you know. In today's world, everyone can be a nuclear physicist within 5 minutes because, well, I can go to YouTube and find out how to make a nuclear bomb, you know? You don't have to know anything in today's world, and that's what really makes me a freak because I can still trap, hunt, fish. I can survive without having to look at a YouTube video. And with that, Andy, are you there, my friend?
Hey, Alan. Yes, I am there. Hey, can I start off by saying, hey, thanks, Dave, for not throwing on a replay and actually going live, and then thanks you for asking me to join you. So
I am rather fired up. You know,
yeah,
I was kind of fired up beforehand, but the ladies, but the show before us, you know, Angry Show, Jenna took over. Both of her guests, just I mean, they talked about exactly what I wanted to talk about.
Well, it was a breakthrough moment for the show because that you said you knew. I asked you if you had a monologue prepared, and I know you did because you've got a lot to say. And my part, when I talked to them on the last show, just to get that out in the open in case people are tuning in now that didn't hear it, I also said that it's going to be an awesome show talking to a person such as yourself And you really laid it out right there. You are a low-tech individual, and you are doing the things the way you're closer to what we should be living than most everybody else. And granted, you're far away from what we really should be doing, even though you're doing something very close to it. But again, this entire technology that they've put out for us and stuff was never designed for it was designed for our entertainment, but it was to get us hooked on this stuff. It was designed so that you could.
Yes, the lady that Jenna had on talked about the dopamine hits. You know,
exactly.
You used to have to work for a dopamine hit. You know, you went out and you did something, you created something, you built something, and at the end of it, you stood back and you said, "Damn, I did a good job," and you got a dopamine hit. Now you click a button and you get a dopamine hit. You click another button and you get a dopamine hit every couple of seconds.
Oh, yeah, and I saw this. I mean, looking back in time with my own kids, I had four kids, and they were born in the 90s and the early 2000s. So within 10 years, I had four kids. And, they were immediately attached to the video games because that's immediately when the video games came out. And then cell phones came out, and then they're wondering why they don't have a cell phone. And, you know, you're just Johnny doing your job and all this stuff, and you're going along with this entire perspective of, you know, any kind of integration is a great thing. And so you want to give your kids exactly what you didn't have. And that's another reason why everything is screwed up is because we didn't raise our kids the way our parents raised their kids. They didn't raise their kids. You know, the whole generations have been lost and stuff. But when it got to the high-tech thing, so you got, you know, the cell phones and the video games and stuff came out, and we allowed that to be a babysitter for us in many occasions. Yeah, you know, just play your video game. We'll be right back. We're going
Andy,
to the store.
The television was bad enough, but, it, you know, maybe, you know, it went back before me, you know, maybe radio, you know, was bad enough, you know, because, you know, but back then you had shows that came out and, you know, when you listened to radio, you actually, you know, they presented something to you and you had to create the whole world in your mind, you know, then television came along and they gave you the visuals, you know, so you didn't even have to think about anything, you know, at least radio, like what RBN does, what we talk about, you know, we're not presenting, you know, The Lone Ranger or, you know, or any of these other shows, you know, which you had to create in your own mind, you know, and then television came along and they gave you the visuals and, you know, and there might've been, you know, a television program of a radio program. And when you saw their television program, it's like, well, that's nothing like I pictured in my mind. Do you remember thinking that?
Oh, absolutely. Television was a treat for us because I was alive when they had black and white TVs. I'm sure they had color TVs, but that was for the people who could afford them. But yeah,
I remember, Andy, we had two TV sets and you turned it on and it took like, you know, 30 or 45 seconds before it would actually come on because the tubes had to heat up. Then you had two channels on VHF and one UHF channel. We had like three channels. And Saturday morning, you watch Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner, or maybe Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, or some of those shows.
Scooby-Doo.
And then Dad sat down and he watched golf, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, or there was a baseball game on. I found myself sitting in front of the TV when I was grounded to the house watching baseball with my dad and my stepdad, and I didn't like it at all. But, I mean, it was... There are some positive things that have came from this entire new wave of...
It got rid of imagination, my friend. It got rid of imagination.
Yeah, no, it's... but it's engulfed people. It's engulfed people, though, Alan. It's just totally engulfed them. And then without the parents over the top of them saying, no, that's too much. And, you know, like Bill Gates, he doesn't let his children look at these things. Same thing with Bezos and stuff. They know what this stuff is all about. If you get addicted to it, it's just like a drug. And I was saying that's an adrenaline rush.
Andy, you know, I don't have an internet, you know, access myself. But I went down, like I said, I went down to figure out how to throw, you know, the best way to throw a 6-foot cast net, you know, to catch bait. And I sat there for an hour and a half, and I finally looked at my watch and I said, God damn! I said I've been sitting here for an hour and a half, you know, which for a lot of you people. That's like a blink of an eye on the internet, but for me, an hour and a half is like I've not been on the internet yet this year yet, you know. And I ended up looking at these YouTube pop-ups on the sideline, and I ended up watching it's like how to build a you know how to make your own torsion cannon, you know. Because I saw it learning me, as I would watch a video that would pop up on the sideline as I was watching how to throw a cast net, it was throwing up videos. I'm like, well, that's interesting. So I'd click on that one. And when I clicked on that one, it started tailoring the pop-ups on the side more to my likes. You know, it knew me. It knew that well, you know, this guy, you know, he does firearms. He, you know, he's outdoorsman. He's this and that. And I saw it within an hour and a half. I saw it tailoring the pop-ups on the YouTube to more what I was interested in. And I sat there and I said, I just slapped myself and I said, God damn! I said, this is mesmerizing. I said I can see how it can take control of people's lives.
Yeah, and so did we really need Snowden to tell us about the NSA?
I didn't.
No. Nobody really did, but nobody would have paid attention. And again, now you got to think about the CIA version of this thing. Everybody's thinking, you know, the CIA did all this stuff to Nicaragua, Iran, Afghanistan, Venezuela, whatever. They went in there and they proposed their little stuff and whatnot. So they're using mind control on everybody around the world. You don't think they would use it on us? And that's exactly what's going on right now. And they use these high-tech gadgets to get us into their mind control. And we fell for it, just like we fell for COVID, just like we fell for 9/11. Look how many years it's taken for us to finally. We don't even know exactly how it happened, and that's not relevant. It's the fact that it did happen, and we're here. And now COVID, it doesn't matter how it happened, although we did have a picture from 1917 that could have gave us a really good clue, but we're doomed to repeat ourselves. History's doomed to repeat itself simply because we're stupid, and they've made sure we're stupid because
it's like I brought up. You know, do you remember yo-yos and frisbees and there's a country song. I think Lauren plays it, and a couple other guys play it. You know, do you remember when kids played games out in the yard instead of on a computer alone?
Yeah. Yeah, leapfrog.
It has taken us away from interpersonal communication and connectivity, and it has brought us into this digital world where your best friend might live in the middle of Sichuan, China. You know? Have you ever met him? Oh, well, I talk to him every day. It's like, do you actually talk to him, or do you just text back and forth, or type, or email, or whatever in the hell that you do? You know, it's like, no, it has brought us away from interpersonal communication, from living in your local environment and your local life. The only thing you can control is your local environment and who you interact with. Andy, is it better to have your family still alive but dead to you instead of actually being dead, knowing that they're out there but they are dead to you? You know, our friend Chance, you know, his whole family is dead. Is it better that Chance's whole family is dead instead of, like me, having my family basically being dead to me because they're digital piees of shit, on this world breathing, but being dead to me because I don't live in that world? Which is worse? Which is better? Can you tell me that?
No, actually, I can't tell you that because it's almost the same thing right there. I mean, if the family wants nothing to do with you, they might as well be dead. If the family is dead, then they might as well be dead. I mean, it's a simplistic thing. Other than the fact that you have more feelings for family, not just people around you that pass away that you may have known of, it's different that your family, not only
they
are they
forgotten
dead
all the time
mentally,
that I've helped them out, that I've been nothing but... See, Andy. Okay, thank you, Sam. We'll take a caller in a second here. It's like, I was sitting here and before Ingrid's show, which Jenna took over, I sat here and I wrote. It's like, I've not pulled myself away from the world. The world has pulled itself away from me. You know, I've never had, and never will have.
You
an
made
internet
a great
connection.
Analogy. You made a great analogy. You had a neighbor that you told him he had his cell phone. He was attached to his steering wheel and stuff. And you're like, hey, man, what's going on with that? And he's like, hey, it's your fault. You're detached from the world. And if you look at it in reverse, he's detached from the world because he's not even part of it. He's part of a digital world. Right. He was never part of the world once that phone got in his... And the same thing with me. I've lost it, too. But all I have is a phone, and I don't have much more than that. So... And I use it. I'm not saying I'm a better person, but I use it to listen to RBN. I listen to Rants and all these different networks. Yeah,
there are responsible ways to use it. You know, I will admit that. But see, even using it responsibly is giving them data points.
It's still harmful.
You know, it's everything about the internet and all this technology is weaponized. They would not release it to us. And Andy, with that, Sam whispered in my ear, said we have a caller. I didn't even hear who it was. But, let's take a caller real quick.
Yes. You know who this is.
Oh, I know that voice.
From the Target Town, Kim Davis.
Hi.
Anyway, I'm over here on that edge of the coal hole economy.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
I think we have multiple callers.
One time, apparently. Who do we
Which
have?
One's here?
We have Murr or Mike.
This is Lynn.
Oh,
Lynn.
Okay.
I thought I heard Lynn first off. How you doing, Lynn?
We'll take Lynn first.
I'm doing well, and it is so nice to hear Alan talk about not using technology. I have been off the internet since 2017. I stopped watching TV long before that. And before that, I don't have any wireless in my house. I didn't even have a meter until somebody came by and stuck one on there. A squirrel must have taken the sign. But it's not a regular meter, but it's still digital. It's the phone company that's done me in. You know, the poor guy can't figure out wires. You know why? Because he can't stop looking at his tablet. And I'm like, everybody else has been able to figure out the wire that was bad in the jack. Why are you having all this trouble? Oh, well, that'd be too much trouble. I'd have to drill a hole in your wall and pull this cable through, and now I hear this buzzing in my head constantly. But I thought for a long time it was me because I had been chemically injured with toxins and the stuff on the internet, you know, getting on there and 12 hours later going, oh, what happened to my day? And I was like, okay, I'm the canary in the coal mine. Well, actually, there are web design things you can do to keep people on there and engaged. But there's the other piece that's kind of invisible, that it's the pulse microwave piece. And we are being enveloped in LIDAR, pulse microwaves, sonar, name it. And we're living in the electronic dog collar.
Hey, Lynn, it is weaponized.
Yes, Lynn, an electromagnetic nightmare. Yes, I'll agree with that. You know,
well, weaponized, and they are going to flip that switch on us. And those people who are still looking at screens, in fact, when I learned, and I couldn't verify it until about a year and a half ago, that I learned in 2017, it was the last day I was on the internet, that they were running VR in the background of all browsers and all screens. I was like, because I had done a lot of research.
Hey, Lynn, on the same token, if you give us some really good thought here, when they wired your house for electricity and stuff, that in itself was giving off a current. Electricity gives off a current.
Who knows
in the new house? Yeah, no, that's the thing is that they have attacked us with all these different currents, all this different radiation, all this different sonar, all this different broadcasting networks and stuff. And so, yeah, you got a ringing in your ear.
That's a different frequency than a pulse microwave. Actually, I thought this radiologist was lying to me and my father years ago. Actually, another piece of information is, you know, in dictionaries, they always had the term non-ionizing radiation.
Yeah.
You know, because that won't hurt your cells, right?
Right.
Well, it's BS anyway. But you know non-ionizing radiation isn't in a new dictionary anymore?
Okay.
Because it's not true. And that's what this radiologist had told my father was because he was getting, like, more of his radiation treatment longer than he should. And I thought this guy was lying for sure. And he said, no, it's such a high-dose radiation, you don't have to worry about it. He said the problem would be if it was ELF, and that would be a bigger problem. So, and that's what you get off of wireless. Like, and a cordless home phone is the worst you can be around.
Yeah.
And it's all very, very addicting. It takes weeks to recover from being around wireless.
You know, Lynn, I don't know how long you've been listening to RBN, but you remember Dr. Wynn Parker, and his big phrase that he used constantly was bioaccumulation. You know, because you don't have the immediate effects of the radiation, it does not mean that it's not affecting you. You know, it bioaccumulates. You know, over time, it does affect your body. See, when I was wanting to go into scientific research, and my last endeavor was developmental biology, embryology, whatever you want to call it. You know, what can affect, you know, especially in the womb, you know, when the fetus is developing, you know, from blastocele to gastrocele to zygote to embryo to you know, to fetus to baby, you know, to a living being.
Oh.
If a lady's pregnant with a baby girl, that baby's eggs develop really early in utero.
Yes, ma'am.
Baby is exposed to microwaves, her eggs are abnormal.
Why do we have like 7 and 8 year old girls now, you know, starting their menstrual cycle? It didn't used to be till like 12 or 13 when you started your teenage years.
Here's one for you. I mean, Janice from the 12 o'clock show today, she's pointed this out on other shows and whatnot, but she talked about it today, I believe, very briefly. But guess what? When you go in to see what sex your child is, they put an ultrasound on your body. What are they doing? They're executing your child. They're burning them. And notice when you see that ultrasound picture on the screen, that baby's moving kind of vigorously. You know,
I heard her today, Andy. If you email her, tell her to watch, I mean, not to watch, to listen to, it's New York Times, so probably nytimes.com/ The Daily from Friday. They're going to start mining on the Pacific Ocean. Everybody ought to listen to that, because talk about getting around stuff and paying some little island country when there's supposed to be like a worldwide treaty about this stuff. And it's the mine for lithium batteries.
Of course, that is the most destructive stuff they could do.
Let me tell you, all this technology, all this what they call scientific advancement,
not advancing,
has been weaponized against us by the powers that be. I don't know whatever you want to call them.
It's like the weather.
It's not just the Jews. It's not just this or that. There's a lot of other people. Everyone's involved in this, and everyone gets sucked into this stuff. And I've seen it in my lifetime. Like I said, developmental biology is what, you know, I did not get a master's in it. I did not, you know, I don't have a doctorate because
you live here.
I learned the basics.
And if you're not using technology, you can see what's happening to the people around you.
It's the school of common sense.
Very clearly.
And you can see especially what happened since 2007, 2008. I worked at a college, and in 2009, I had every instructor come in the first day of classes that September, one after another after their first class, and their students could not read. They could not do math.
Yes, ma'am.
They weren't ready for college. If you think about you're lonely and you don't have a cell phone, and Sam doesn't have my number, I tried to give it to him, and I'm not giving it out online, I mean, over the phone, but, you know, people that are on a computer and on their phone all the time, it's like kids. They have to text to make a phone call. They're not comfortable socially.
Families can't talk across a dinner table without texting themselves.
Exactly.
But you can't place an order from somebody. They're too distracted. They can't think straight.
Hey, Mom, pass me the potatoes. Text message too. Dad, pass me the gravy.
Put the phone in the other room.
Exactly.
Turn it off. Get
that
away from it. Put it in the trunk of the car.
Yeah, well, hey, if you gave Sam your number, I would.
He wouldn't take it. So,
well, Sam,
we'll find a way, but I'll be praying for you.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm going to put my number out on the open air because I don't get that many calls except for people like Andy and Dave Kopeck who are doing a show right now. I'll put my number out over the air right now. 830. Get a pen. Do you have a pen handy or a pencil?
Yep, right in my hand.
830-669-2011.
Okay, and you're in Central Time?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, for all you knuckleheads out there, don't mess with my boy, okay?
No. Private.
That wasn't
okay.
For you, young
Thank
Lynn.
You, Alan.
That wasn't for you at all.
Thank you very much for calling, Lynn. I'm glad to have another RBN friend and family out there.
Okay, one other thing to think about. Am I still on?
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
NIMH did a study, National Institutes of Mental Health, a few years ago, and this was in the Beacon, which is the older people's newspaper. And they actually said that anybody like over 60 or whatever, if you're in a room doing whatever, working in your office or, you know, doing whatever, your craft room, don't have a cell phone in there because in their study it showed definite cognitive decline, and they could, you know, come up with it in the study. So they advised older people never to have a cell phone in the same room where they were working or doing whatever during the day. Well, you shouldn't have it in there at night, definitely, for sure, ever. But I'm thinking, yeah, and we're old. What about little kids whose brains are developing? There is
what about a mother nowadays who, when she's pregnant, she lays back on the couch and she puts her laptop on her belly, and she's on the computer on her laptop on her belly.
Get the March Dawn labels. There's a picture right on the back of the labels. It drives me nuts.
I know.
And it's unhealthy.
Yes,
it's men who walk around with their cell phone on their belt or in their back pocket, and they have, and I'm like, you're going to have prostate cancer a lot sooner than granddaddy. You know, you're going to be sorry when you're up all night peeing.
Hey, Lynn, I don't know if you're married or not, but will you marry me? I propose marriage to like five or six women here, and it's
no, but thank you for the offer.
But thank you for being out.
I've been there, done that. He broke the mold.
It's refreshing, though. It's definitely refreshing.
God bless you all, Lynn.
And have a wonderful night and a happy weekend.
Thank you very much, Lynn. You know what we talk about is not, you know, it's not real fun. It's not real happy. But I love talking with people that see what's really going on, you know. It's a very hard existence once you actually understand what's being done to us. It's real hard to come on with, you know, happy crap.
Well, it's going to be a lot harder when you're the one with the dog collar on.
Yeah, no, and that's coming too. And when you're spun on, it's coming.
I know it's coming. It's
actually the dog collar.
They started with the Twin Towers, and they abandoned those for HAARP. But now they've abandoned HAARP, so it must be all the crap flying up in the air.
It's way past HAARP.
It's Doppler radar.
They have advanced way beyond that, my friend.
I mean, all you have to do is go out at night. I realized that right away. What is this step between stars and, you know, I would go through drive-ins and tell young people, see that? Let me tell you something. Stars twinkle. They don't blink.
Hey, they don't look up.
They're not going to know anything that's going on. They don't look up. It's like the kids that didn't learn for 2 years. Why didn't somebody give them a workbook?
Yeah.
You can't learn online. Besides that, you know they're playing video games.
No, even when you think you're doing online learning, you're doing online obedience.
Hidden Brain on NPR did a 2-week show, and it proved that, this was before COVID, but it showed that people thought they were great at what they learned on YouTube, like playing the guitar or doing a dance or something, and they rated how well they did after a couple weeks of learning this thing, and they sucked.
It's called operant conditioning at its very base. It's called operant conditioning. What this whole system is being done to us, you know.
Well, and that's
dopamine,
why
the dopamine effects. You know, everything else. You know, it's like you put a dog in a cage, and every time food drops down, you know, you put a dog in there and it's hungry, and you drop it into the bowl, and when it walks over, when it starts to eat the food, it gets shocked. You know,
eventually, Pavlo and Skinner combined.
It will stop trying to eat because every time it tries to eat, it gets shocked, and it's called.
Yeah, but we get just the opposite. It's the pleasure thing. It's how the woman mortgages the whole house and spends the couple's entire life savings on a betting website.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, it is very dangerous stuff. And talk about idols. People are. If it was no more than that, it's bad enough. They are bowing down to an idol.
Yes, ma'am. Lynn.
So, okay, I better let you go.
I've loved your call. I know we have another caller on. In fact, we actually had both of y'all in here at the same time. I think Mike in Kentucky is with us. Lynn,
hi,
I do appreciate your call.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn.
Call our show Sunday morning anytime. I don't know where I forgot where you're at, but
I'm in Maryland.
Call our show or give me a call. You got
nine Eastern on Sunday morning.
9 Eastern.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. I will call you in the morning.
I love you, Lynn.
All right, sweetheart.
Okay, love you too. God bless y'all. Good night,
Andy, that was about as refreshing a call as I've had in a long time.
It sure was. Never heard her voice before.
What we talk about is not refreshing, but knowing there are other people out there who understand what you know, that's refreshing to me because I don't find it in my local environment anywhere. Like I said, my family is dead to me. Lynn became a new part of my family.
Yeah, no, your family is alive and well. It's called RBN and the people you talk to.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, look, I don't have a family either, and most of my family are just phone calls anyway, and they're not great stuff. But my family, since I'm a year into my last, I had a stint in the hospital. I didn't want to go here, but I'll go here. It's been a year since that happened to me, and that's where my family showed up. And guess who it was? It was people from RBN. It was people who heard me and listened to me and liked me. And not even my own family would even call me and say, how are you doing and stuff. But my friends and family on RBN called up. It's just a special moment when you find out, people appreciate what you're talking about.
I do remember my friend Steve telling me your number and say, hey, man, give Andy a call. I'm like, oh, I'd love to talk with Andy, you know, and you're in the frickin' hospital. But, you know, glad we've become as close as we are, you know, not even ever
seeing
each other. But, we did have, I believe, Mike in Kentucky on. And, Sam, I do appreciate you letting us go through the breaks because this is just great conversation. Good people.
It sure is.
So is Mike out there?
Come on, Mike.
Kentucky? Yeah.
Over.
Over.
Here he is.
Are we Roger. Over?
No,
or are we
just,
over?
No,
over?
Starting.
No.
Starting.
It's just the lag time. Over.
I know.
That's not that bad with you. Yeah, Alan's on an analog phone like I am. Copper wire. You're not, though.
Watch out. People are coming for that. That's worth money.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, if they can figure out where it's at anymore, it's hard to know. But, you know, I was talking to a guy that's running for sheriff about G. Gordon Liddy in 1984 or 5, something like that, after he got out of jail and got on the speech circuit. I
actually went to a speech that G. Gordon Liddy gave at the University of Arkansas. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, in any event, he was talking about just with what he knew from being on the National Security Council during the Nixon administration, he could take out the grid in an afternoon in the eastern United States. And
wow.
He gave some details, but I won't give them on
like
the air. But you can
moment.
Imagine what he could do, you know, what could be done with certain things that are made out of glass and are filled with oil, certain tools. And, you know, there was a cascading blackout that was caused in California about, I don't know, within the last decade. And as far as I know, it was an unsolved crime, but somebody knew enough about the infrastructure to cut the telemetry, the the telephone network wires were going into a substation, and it almost caused, from what the news said, it almost caused a incident where
the
reactor was going to be without electricity. A nuclear reactor would be without electricity for their...
One guess, Mike. Who caused that? Come on, Mike. Who caused that? Really? One guess.
Somebody
wanted
more
funding. There was a plan. There's always a plan.
They needed more funding for Homeland Security, for more infrastructure and protection. Because
Zbigniew Brzezinski and those good guys, yeah.
The Grand Chessboard?
Yep.
13 families?
In any event, you know, he was just, and I've seen it get worse. It's gotten worse. We've got so many people, like you said, have gotten sucked into these cell phones, and I until very recently didn't have one, and I had to get one in order to capture a phone number, and I'm hoping eventually to move it over to like Google Phone if I can do it without having to have a phone number tied to it. But Google Voice, if you want to keep a phone number, like Alan, if you're going about, you know, for whatever reason going to lose your phone number, you can move it to Google Voice for $20.
I gave my number out over the air here, Mike. You know, and I would ask people not to call me up and fill me full of your version of crap, you know. But people like Lynn, you know, who was just on with us, those people I would love to talk with, you know. The people in power, they already know where I'm calling from. They know my phone number. You know,
right.
They're actually
what
starting
I'm
to
getting
screw
at
with me on my landline. You know, I don't have internet or anything, and they're actually starting to screw with me on my landline at times. You know,
well, so just be respectful. You know, just be respectful. That's all you're asking. Hey, call me up. Yeah. I've got a conversation for you, but just be respectful.
Well, what I'm getting at is, you know, they're trying to phase out copper, and eventually they may want to try to put you over on Elon Musk's Wi-Fi, orbital Wi-Fi, if the ozone layer's still...
Or Starlink, like my cousins down the road from me here, they've got a new Starlink, and I asked Steve about, well, how hard is it to set up a Starlink? And he goes, well, you just put up a dish, and you kind of point it in the right direction, and once you hook it up, it's like the dish orients itself. I'm like, you know, that's called a phased array system.
Yeah, it's got, like, some crazy amount of antennas inside that. It's not really a dish.
Yeah.
I think Elon Musk calls it a dishy thingy or something. It's not, it's a phased array thing, and it's beam steering and all that sort of stuff. I would definitely not want that out my daughter's bedroom window bouncing around, you know, the sky. Who knows? You know, it's got beam-forming waves that come off of it, and... It focuses the beam to follow the satellites
Mike,
as they track.
Mike, as far as I understand, it's not just exactly the frequency involved in this 5G system. It is the ability to pinpoint, to phase array those beams, you know, to, like, it's like, you know, someone's trying to use their cell phone. It's like the antennas will beam, and they will pinpoint, like the Tesla stuff, you know. You know, It will pinpoint it to your specific area, and it will follow you around. It's not just the frequency. It is the ability to pinpoint that frequency and follow wherever it
needs to be followed. Let me throw something in here, Alan. Let me throw something in here. Look at Starlink, okay? First and foremost, the number one purchaser of helium, which is not going to blast your ass in space.
High altitude,
the number one purchaser
platform
of helium is NASA, and guess what Starlink is sending their satellites up with? These helium balloons. So it makes you wonder if they can even get off this planet, if there's some spot where they just can't even go. But
I know that's not true, at least as far as their Starlinks, because I've seen them launched, and you know, they're
let's just throw that aside, because that's not the major part of what I was going to say. The major part is that they put so many of these satellites up. He even boasted he was going to put 1,400 satellites up last year and something. And so how many have they actually put up? Having said that, why do we need cell phone towers anymore? Oh,
we want it because the internet capacity is...
No, hang on, Mike. Could they be a weapon? Is it about your cell phone, or could it be a weapon? And how do we know if it's not, Mike? Really, seriously.
Hey guys, you hear about like they over in the middle of Africa, you know, it's like they would put up a cell phone tower, and they would build it and they would erect it, and the cell phone tower would start working, and as soon as the people left, the local indigenous people would come and tear the cell phone tower and take it down and cut it up and sell it for scrap. So yes, high altitude balloon platforms. Much easier. How do you think the pygmies in the middle of the damn jungle can get a damn cell phone service? Because
you just made my point, Alan.
In Amazon or the deepest darkest Africa, and these damn little pygmies, have a cell phone charging station with solar panels, but they've got smartphones.
Okay. Think about it, Alan. Though you got a cell phone tower put up in a pygmy area, they've never had those flipping vibrations from anywhere, no kind of radio waves or anything like that. No wonder they tore it down. Holy crap, yeah. People are getting sick left and right. They tore the damn thing down, which was the rightfully thing to do. And why is America so keen to it? Because they sold us this cell phone, this internet, and everything as something that was entertainment, a way to keep in contact and whatnot.
Because in their whole lifetime that they'd ever known through their history, there's never been a fat, overweight pygmy until cell phones and smartphones and the American diet started coming in.
Yeah, and I'm sure Brian.
Oh, you want to make?
They sent out there Zoom
go ahead,
out
Mike,
there,
sorry.
Whatever. Go ahead.
You can read about that pretty easily. If you want to make obese lab rats to study obesity, you just need monosodium glutamate and high fructose corn syrup. Boom, got a fat lab rat. What are they putting all the food?
After a couple of months, too. A couple of months, and that rat is dead.
Well, no, they'll live up to 2 years, but they do start getting tumors after about two years.
Okay, so great. We get to live up to 5 years, and then we get tumors.
Mice using certain chemical substances or certain frequencies, and they know what's going on. Like I said, everything that they've been everything that they've been doing to us, it's not just accident. This has all been planned out, and it's been weaponized against every bit of technology, every bit of, I never knew there was something called food science. One of the most beautiful girls
so
that I ever dated, went out with for a while. She was a waitress in a bar that I worked at. She was going for food science. She was the only other one that I ever knew that worked with the electron microscopes out of the agricultural department at the University of Arkansas. She was involved in food science. She was the only other person that I could talk with about using electron microscopes.
Mike, you want to ask this? Or you want me to ask this? Look, Alan. What is food science? What does food have to do with science? We don't need no science for food. We figured out what food was.
Exactly. Weaponization. That's what it has to do with it, Andy. Weaponization.
Absolutely. Mike knows that.
Well,
Mike, I got to tell you, Mike. I'm always intrigued with your phone calls. And, you know, truth be told, if RBN gave another show on this network, if you had enough material and you had the gall to do it, you'd make a good host because you're very well-spoken.
Yeah, Andy, to tell you the truth, you know, Steve, I asked Steve to come on with us tonight, and he was, and Steve kind of dropped out. And, you know, before I called you, Andy, I was actually thinking about calling Mike and saying, hey, Mike, you know, would you want to come on and just talk tonight? You know, because you two guys are two of the guys that I really have, you know, Mike, we haven't talked in a while, but we've had some talks before. Hell, we've talked till like 2 or 3 in the morning sometimes, you know.
3 hours or something.
I just love talking with you guys. You've got an open mind.
Good conversations hard to come by.
Yes, great conversations.
Well, people that actually, you know, think outside the box any, you know. I said something, you know, I don't know, half an hour or more ago about Snowden. We didn't need Snowden to leak that stuff for us to know, but not from my experience. There's so many folks out there that don't even know who Snowden is, but my credibility is, you might say, street cred went up like 200% because of his leaks, and most of what he leaked was already 6-7 years old and obsolete.
But you already leaked it.
I had already leaked it.
That's what I'm saying. You already leaked it, so Snowden wasn't necessary.
Mike, let me ask you this. The people around
Well, he was necessary because
they woke a lot of people up.
Mike, the people around you, that you were talking about this before it came out, before Snowden came out, or before Chelsea Manning or whatever in the hell you want to call that freak, you know, Julian Assange, all this crap. Before all that came out, you know, were you not talking about people about basically what they released? And then when it came out, you know, the little bit that did come out public, and people would still look at you and it's like, oh, well, okay, you were right, but you're still crazy.
Well, my favorite response is, well, it's the way you told us. But, you know, a prophet is not accepted in his household or his hometown. That's what the Bible says. And, you know, I found that to be true. You can be right about something and people will resent you for it.
Well,
I found that very relevant, my friend. When you end up being right, they don't say, how did you know that? They get mad at you. They resent you for being right.
Yeah. Here's the cure to all of this, ladies and gentlemen and people listening out there. It's you. The more people you can wake up, and I know it's a difficult situation because people are hypnotized and mesmerized and got their own little thing going on, but the one person that can save you is you, and you got to figure out how to do that, because you can look in the mirror and say, yeah, I can save myself, but you can't, because you're going to need an army for this, and it's not an army armed with people and stuff. You're going to need some people to stand behind you when you go stand up to those people that you need to stand up to, and we're already way too late for this, by the way. This should have happened years ago.
Andy, there's a book out there called Truth is a Lonely Warrior, and that's a very apt phrase. Folks, you've realized this, you know, we've all lost friends, family, you know, everything, you know.
Spouses, jobs,
looking for the truth. Yeah. Truth is a lonely warrior, and it very well, you know, except for my friends like Mike and Lynn and Andy and, you know, all my other RBN family out there. Y'all are the only ones who helped me keep my sanity and basically tell you the truth, helped me keep from pulling a bullet in my freaking brain, because in my local environment, there is no one around me that I can talk with.
And you think you're not doing that for us, too? Come on, Alan. You're doing it for us, too.
I know it's not
your
pleasant.
Conversation is just as necessary as everybody else's.
But it's the truth, and the truth is a lonely warrior.
Well, occasionally men stumble over the truth, you know, if you've heard that. Occasionally men will stumble over the truth, pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and continue on as if nothing happened.
Right. Yes, my friend. Yes,
exactly.
We're almost out of time.
You can put it in their face, and they'll look at you, and their eyes will cloud over, and they'll say, is it going to rain today? You know? Yeah.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike, we're not out of time. We got another hour left. What are you talking about? You want to go?
I forgot. It's a 2-hour.
You want to go?
No,
I don't know if we got another call.
We got a time of the hour break, all that fun stuff, ID and everything. But no, I remember when I first ran across that, you know, men occasionally stumble over the truth and then continue on like nothing happened. There's a lot of people you can do that with. It's like, well,
isn't that weird, though? That's just that's not human nature. That's not human nature. A bunch of bull crap happens to you, and all of a sudden, you just move on like it never happened. That's exactly what COVID did here.
Guys, we're going to break here, and I will thank Sam for letting us go through several breaks here.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Mr. Trump.